ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. హరే కృష్ణ. సో విత్ ద పర్మిషన్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ సీనియర్ వైష్ణవర్స్ హియర్ అండ్ ఆల్ ద వైష్ణవర్స్ ఆర్ ద వైష్ణవర్స్ టూ, ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు స్పీక్ ఆన్ ద టాపిక్ ఆఫ్ ది అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ రాధాకుండ్. Today is the day that Radhakund manifested within this world in Bhauma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan that has appeared here within the confines of the material world, even though it doesn't belong to this material world. But the Puranas describe that Radhakund does exist in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan eternally. Srimati Radharani, along with all the other associates of Krishna, accompany Lord Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan eternally, performing many, many wonderful divine pastimes. In order to facilitate their pastimes, many of the Lord's associates manifest in different forms to increase the taste of the pastimes, to increase the bliss of Krishna and his dear associates. Radhakund plays a very, very important role in the pastimes of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained that Sri Radhakund is a prema swarupa of Srimati Radharani, which means it is the form of the ecstatic devotion of Srimati Radharani for Sri Krishna. It is also explained by the Acharya that Radhakund is nothing but the liquid form of Srimati Radharani. It is Srimati Radharani in liquid form. So we can understand how sacred Radhakund really is. No wonder, therefore, that Rupa Goswami has so profusely glorified Radhakund in the nectar of instruction. And Srila Prabhupada's purports are also very, very illuminating. Explaining why or how Radhakund is so exalted, Rupa Goswami compares, first of all, the Vaikuntha world with this material world. And it is clear that the spiritual world or Vaikuntha is superior to this material world. But even superior to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha Janitavara Madhupuri. Madhupuri refers to the city or town of Mathura. Mathura is superior to Vaikuntha because the Lord appeared there. Janita, he appeared in Mathura, therefore Mathura is superior to Vaikuntha. But even superior to Mathura is Tatrapi Rasotsavad Vrindaranyam, is the forest of Vrindavan. Because Sri Krishna performed his Rasalila pastimes there. And as part of the larger Vrindavan forest, there is also Govardhan there. Udarapani Ramana Tatrapi Govardhanaha. And even higher than Vrindavan is the Govardhan forest or Govardhan hill, because it was a site of Lord Krishna's many loving pastimes, and also because Sri Krishna actually lifted it with his lotus fingers, with his lotus hand. He touched Govardhana hill and lifted the hill like an umbrella. So Govardhan is considered superior to Vrindavan. But even superior to Govardhan is that part of Govardhan which is called Radhakunda. Radhakunda mihapi gokulapatehe premamritaplavanat. And the reason is explained by Rupa Goswami is that this is the place which is over flooded by the nectar of the love of Krishna that Srimati Radharani has in her heart. So this is the significance. Kuriyadasya virajato giritate sevam vivekinakaha. Therefore Rupa Goswami says, who is that intelligent person who will not serve Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So this is the hierarchy of spiritually significant and important places. And at the very pinnacle or the peak of the holiest of holy places lies Radha Kunda. Perhaps it is something that we cannot really imagine or conceive of in a conditioned state as to how holy and exalted this place is. Therefore, Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada have repeatedly emphasized this point. I mentioned earlier that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said that Radha Kund is a liquid form of Srimati Radharani. It is also explained in the Puranas. There are several pastimes of this nature. I will describe briefly one such pastime. That one time Sri Krishna was feeling intense separation from Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan. And in that mood of separation, he began chanting. He actually took on the mood of Srimati Radharani, and as Radharani would chant the names of Krishna, Krishna in that mood also began chanting his own names. So much so that he actually assumed the form of Srimati Radharani, not just her bhava or her mood. And he went hither and thither into the forest, calling out his own names, considering himself to be Srimati Radharani. Similarly, Srimati Radharani also was feeling intense separation from Krishna. And in that separation, she actually took on the form and the mood of Sri Krishna chanting out Radharani's name, that is her own name. Finally, when Srimati Radharani took on Krishna's form, then the gopis came to pacify her, and somehow they also went to Krishna. A voice appeared in the sky that said that you must chant the mantra of Radharani and she will appear before you. When Krishna did that, then Radharani appeared. And the gopis were very happy. And then Krishna, he profusely apologized to Srimati Radharani for all the pain that he had caused, and then said that by the tears of our eyes, now these two lovely ponds have been formed. The tears from your eyes have caused this lake, which will henceforth be named after you and will be called Radha Kund. And the tears from my lake, from my eyes, have formed this lake, which will henceforth be named after me and called Shyama Kund. So thus, Shyama Kund and Radha Kund were formed even in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. Srimati Radharani took her bath in Radha Kund and emerged in her original form. And the gopis were happy to see Srimati Radharani as Radharani rather than Krishna. And Krishna also assumed his original form. So Radha Kund and Shyama Kund eternally exist in the spiritual world. And in order to nourish and facilitate Krishna's pastimes here, they also appear along with Srimati Radharani and Krishna. The appearance of Radha Kund here happens on this day, which is called Bahulashtami. Sometimes devotees wonder, why is it called Bahulashtami? And devotees will be going day after tomorrow to Bahulavan, among other places. And there we will all hear in detail the pastimes that took place in Bahulavan. Bahula is actually a gopi, but also the name Bahulashtami comes from the name of a cow called Bahula. It is said that this cow was wandering, and a tiger happened to pounce upon her and wanted to eat her. And she begged the tiger for some time. She gave him a promise that she would return after feeding her calf milk. Her calf was waiting for her in the house of the Brahmana where they resided, and the tiger agreed. So the cow Bahula, she went back to the Brahmana's house and she told her calf, he was a bull calf, that please drink milk to your full satisfaction now, because this is the last time I will be feeding you and I have to go to the tiger to keep my vow. So the calf refused. The calf said, no, I will go instead, and you please stay back. Meanwhile, hearing the argument, the Brahmana, the owner of the cow and the calf, came to know what, to learn what was going on. And upon understanding the situation, he said, no, neither of you will go, I will go instead. So the three of them began to argue, and all three went to the tiger. And each started saying to the tiger that you should accept me. At that time, it is said, this is folklore, Braja folklore, that Krishna appeared there and he was very pleased, and the tiger had a change of heart, and then all three were saved. So this incident happened in Bahulavan. So there is a deity of the cow and the tiger and the calf and so on. You will see day after tomorrow when you go there. So anyway, so after Bahula, and it's called Bahulashtami, and this is also the day when Radha Kund appeared. The pastime has to do with the killing of Arishtasur. Towards the end of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, sometime before he left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, a great demon called Arishta entered Vrindavan. This was some time after Krishna had first performed the Rasa Leela, and then Nanda Maharaj had been swallowed by a serpent and Krishna had rescued him, and Krishna had also killed the demon Shankachuda. Then this Arishtasur, who had assumed the form of a ferocious, huge bull, entered Vrindavan, making very fearsome sounds. And he was so big that his hump appeared like a mountain, and the clouds hovered around his hump thinking that it was a mountain. And with his hooves, he was digging into the earth, and the whole earth was trembling. And Shukadev Goswami explains that many gopis who were pregnant had miscarriages because of hearing the terrible sounds that were emitted by Arishtasura. And the Brajabasis were terrified, and as usual, whenever they were in trouble, they sought the shelter of Krishna. So Krishna went up to them with his cowherd boyfriends and reassured them. And he said, Ma Bhaishta, don't fear. Then he confronted Arishtasur, who was at some distance from him. And he admonished him very severely and said that, how is it that in my presence you are still coming here to terrorize my dear devotees? Very soon I will dispatch you to the kingdom of death. And Arishtasur became very wrathful upon hearing this. And with very red glaring eyes and his horns pointed towards Krishna, he charged at Krishna. Effortlessly, Krishna caught hold of his horns and threw him 18 steps away. Arishtasur was further infuriated. He rose again, and with even greater anger and force, he charged at Krishna. And Krishna this time again held him by the horns, and he effortlessly again whirled him round and round. He kicked him and pushed him to the ground, and then whirled him and Shukadev Goswami says he thrashed him to the ground like we thrash a wet cloth. Many times people who wash clothes, especially in India in the villages, you will see, or the dhobis, the washermen, they have the clothes and they beat them. There is a stone that is especially meant for this, and you beat the clothes to take out the dirt. So Krishna beat Arishtasura to the ground as if he were beating a wet cloth. And in the process, the life airs left from Arishtasura's body. And he died, and the demigods in great pleasure showered flowers from above the clouds. So Krishna was very happy, the Brajavasis were very happy. And soon after this pastime, Krishna approached Srimati Radharani. And Radharani said, Don't come near me, don't touch me, you are contaminated. So Krishna said, why am I contaminated? He said, because you have killed a bull, a male calf, a male cow. And this is a great sin. But Krishna protested and said, but this is a demon who has just assumed the form of a bull. He's not actually a bull. But Radharani said, Nevertheless, he's still in the body of a bull, and therefore you have committed a great sin, and you have to atone for this sin by purifying yourselves in the holy waters of all the great rivers in the universe. So Krishna said, well, all right, but I'm not about to go and travel all over the universe to take bath. So rather, I will call all the holy places here. They are all my servants. So Krishna struck his heel, right heel, into the ground at that spot where he had killed Arishtasura. And suddenly the waters of the holy river Bhogavati started coming. The Ganga is called Bhogavati in the lower planets. And he said, well, this is the Bhogavati. And then he started calling all the holy places to come, and they all appeared. And then Krishna addressed the gopis and said that these are all the personified holy places from the universe. And the gopis said, we don't believe you. So then each of the holy places started introducing himself or herself. Someone came and said, I am the milk ocean. Someone said, I am the river Tamraparni. I am the river Shon. I am the river Yamuna, and so on. And one by one they all introduced themselves. At that time the gopis were convinced. And then Krishna ordered them to fill his pond, which he had struck with his right heel, and all the waters gushed in. And now, having accomplished this wonderful feat, Krishna became very proud and arrogant. And he said, look, I have accomplished such a miraculous feat, but you gopis, you have never done even one religious activity for the pleasure of Lord Brahma. So, and moreover, because you have sided with the demon, you also have to purify yourself now. So Srimati Radharani was pricked by the sharp words of Krishna, and she retorted, if you can have a pond, then I can do better. So then she went to a place where there was a mark of the hoof print of Arishtasura. And she broke open her bangle and she started digging. And all her gopi associates also started doing the same thing. And within an hour, a very deep ditch had been dug. And Krishna was wonderstruck, seeing the efficiency with which the gopis were working. And then very generously Krishna offered, let the waters from my lake come into your lake. So very haughtily Srimati Radharani replied that she didn't quite accept this offer. And she didn't want that water because that water was contaminated. Because he had committed a sin and he had washed his sins in that water, and she did not want that contaminated water to come into her lake. So she said, I am going to bring the waters from the Manasi Ganga. And there was a huge line of gopis that were formed. And hand by hand, hand to hand, they started filling water from the Manasi Ganga and passing the pots down in line all the way from Manasi Ganga to Radha Kund. And when Krishna saw that, he was astonished, but nevertheless he motioned to the holy places, personified holy places who had appeared in his kund, and they appeared with folded hands in front of Srimati Radharani and glorified her and said, "O Supreme Goddess, not even Brahma, Lord Shiva and Goddess Lakshmi understand your glories. We are indeed fortunate that we have had your darshan today. Please fulfill our desires and have mercy upon us." So Srimati Radharani asked, what is your desire? They said, "Please accept our waters." So Srimati Radharani, being very merciful, accepted their proposal, and the waters that were in Krishna Kund or Shyama Kund, they broke their banks and flooded into Srimati Radharani's pond. And then Srimati Radharani was very pleased. She went and took her bath in Shyama Kund, and she declared that whoever takes his bath here will also develop the same love that Krishna has in his heart for me. And Krishna said that this lake, Radha Kund, is as dear to me as Srimati Radharani is. And whoever takes his bath in Radha Kund will also have the same love for me that Srimati Radharani has. In this way, a very happy ending took place. And Srimati Radharani also went on to say that, "Krishna, no matter how many more Arishta demons you kill, I will still keep taking bath in your lake, the Krishna Kund." So Krishna Kund and Shyama Kund were thus formed. Of course, these pastimes are very elaborate, but when we go for parikrama to these places, they can be described in more detail. So in any case, after Krishna's departure from this world back to the spiritual world, his great-grandson Vajranab, who installed many deities of Krishna here in Vraj, he excavated the lakes again, and he had a boundary wall built around the two lakes, and the walls were broad enough to walk upon. And this was done almost 4,900 or 5,000 years ago, soon after Krishna's departure. Many years after that, Radha Kund again had, practically speaking, disappeared. Nobody knew where it was. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Braj some time after he had taken sannyas, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he was actually actively looking for Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. And even though he inquired from the local Brajabasis, none of them were able to give any clear directions. But by his divine powers, Mahaprabhu understood where these two ponds were located. The local people called them Kari Khet and Gauri Khet. Kari is a local word for dark or black, and Gauri means fair. So Mahaprabhu understood that this khet means field. So they were actually paddy fields at the time of Mahaprabhu, and there was some little water there. So when Mahaprabhu saw these two lakes, he immediately, in devotional ecstasy, rushed into the lakes to take his bath. And the onlookers, the Brajabasis, were struck with wonder to see this. And then he took the mud from these ponds and applied tilak to his body and began chanting many, many nice verses glorifying Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. Mahaprabhu had instructed his Goswami associates, the six Goswamis in particular, to excavate the lost pastime places of Krishna in Braj. And Madhavendra Puri, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami had come prior to Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, but they had not excavated or revealed Radha Kund and Sham Kund. That was left for Mahaprabhu to do. And due to Mahaprabhu's instructions, then the six Goswamis also continued this task. When Raghunath Das Goswami came to Vraj, soon after Mahaprabhu's departure from this world, he was feeling intense separation from Mahaprabhu and had even been contemplating committing suicide by jumping from the top of Govardhan Hill. But Rup and Sanatan Goswamis pacified him and said, "Be like our brother and stay with us." And when they heard that Rupa Goswami, that Mahaprabhu had actually gifted him a Giriraj Shila and his own Gunjamala, then they understood that it was Mahaprabhu's desire that Raghunath Das Goswami should stay at the foot of Govardhan Hill on the banks of the Radha Kund. And therefore they advised him accordingly. So Raghunath Das Goswami settled down on the banks of the Radha Kund and continued to do his bhajan there. Many wonderful pastimes took place there, but I will just narrate one brief pastime that is in connection with the Radha Kund itself. As he was sitting there, he was thinking that in the future generations, hundreds and thousands of people will come here, and therefore we need to have a proper bathing ghat with proper steps and so on, so as to facilitate pilgrims. And then he started thinking about the plans for the ghats and also how much money it would require. And then he began to condemn himself, "Oh, what am I doing? I'm thinking of all this management, all this money and construction work and everything." And then again he brought his mind back to the remembrance of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Meanwhile, there was a wealthy merchant called Samarpan who was going towards Badrik Ashram, way up in the Himalayas. And he was carrying a lot of wealth to offer to Badrinath. But in a dream, Badrinath appeared to him and said, "Don't give this wealth to me. You go to Radha Kund near Govardhan. Approach a saint called Raghunath Das Goswami and you give this money to him and he will deal with it." With great ecstasy, this wealthy merchant came here. He located Raghunath Das Goswami. Initially, Raghunath Das Goswami did not want to accept this money, but understanding this to be the Lord's intention and desire, he accepted the money and he called for Jiva Goswami, who was here living in Vrindavan at that time. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami had already disappeared. And he gave this money to Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was very expert in management as well as Shastra. So not only was he a great scholar, but he understood how to do all these land dealings in Vrindavan. Even in those days it was not easy. So Jiva Goswami took charge of that and immediately bought the land around those kunds, and he had them purchased in Raghunath Das Goswami's name. And then he oversaw, along with Raghunath Das Goswami, the construction of the ghats, the bathing ghats on the banks of the Radha Kund and Sham Kund. And a nice quadrangle was made for Radha Kund. And when Raghunath Das Goswami was beginning a similar shape construction for Shyamakund, Yudhishthir Maharaj appeared to him in a dream and said, "Don't cut down these five trees that are here on the banks of the Shyamakund, because it is us Pandavas performing bhajan here." So astonished, Raghunath Das Goswami awoke and issued instructions to not cut those trees. So therefore the shape of Shyamakund is a little odd. It is somewhat triangular and not quadrangular, as is Radha Kund. So Radha Kund and Sham Kund, therefore, were nicely excavated. Subsequently, other Vaishnavas like Raja Man Singh, the king of Jaipur, and others, they added further steps. So we have what we see today is the devotional service performed by all these great Vaishnavas, and it is so easy for us to go and relish Radha Kunda. Of course, Srila Prabhupada cautioned us that we shouldn't frivolously play around and sport in the waters of the Radha Kunda. It is very offensive. He also cautioned against associating with various kinds of Babajis and so on who live around there, lest we get influenced in different ways that are not quite approved by our acharyas. So therefore, as devotees, we are not expected to stay there for long in order that we don't commit offenses. We go there, offer our respects to Radha Kunda, go in the association of senior devotees, and then come back. That is the way we would offer our respects to Radha Kunda. Shri Radha Kunda ki jai, Shri Shama Kunda ki jai. And I know it is late, but I do have a wonderful bhajan with me to chant. It will take only another 10 minutes to chant, so I request everyone to please wait for these 10 minutes. Can we please circulate? We have only about 80 or 100, so maybe you can distribute it. Some others can also help you in distribution, so we can increase. Some can be given at the back. Give a bunch at the back. We request you to please share it amongst 3 devotees. A bunch can be given at the back over there. At the back. This is the Radha Kundashtakam, which is composed by Raghunath Das Goswami. One sheet amongst 3 devotees, please. I will recite the translation of this verse, of this song. May very fragrant Radha Kund, which, prodded by the gopis' many joking words, after Vrishabhasura's death, the king of the Vrindavan forest, happily built and filled with his own hand, be my shelter. May very dear and fragrant Radha Kund, which for one who bathes in it immediately creates in the land of the heart a desire tree of pure love, rare even among the gopi beloveds of Lord Krishna in Vraja, be my shelter. May very dear and fragrant Radha Kund, where yearning to attain the merciful sidelong glance of his queen, Lord Krishna diligently follows her bathing attendants, be my shelter. May very fragrant Radha Kund, which is named after a girl who is a realm of love for he who is the moon of Vraja, a girl who is like the most precious jewel in the crown of the sweet girls of Vraja, be my shelter. The mercy obtained by serving Radha Kund makes the celestial vine of pure love for the prince of Vraja, which is famous for bearing the flowers of service to my queen, sprout. May that very fragrant Radha Kund be my shelter. May very fragrant Radha Kund, on the shores of which are many splendid and charming forest groves, filled with the sweet sounds of bumblebees, and each named after one of Sri Radha's friends, be my shelter. May very fragrant Radha Kund, on the shore of which, in a pleasant courtyard, Queen Radha and her friends sweetly joke with Lord Krishna, the moon of Vraja, be my shelter. May very fragrant Radha Kund, where the passionate divine couple daily plays with their passionate friends in the charming lotus-scented water, be my shelter. To one who is completely dedicated to Queen Radha's service, and who happily reads these 8 beautiful verses describing her lake, even in this present body, Lord Krishna shows his beloved as he happily embraces her. Shri Radha Kund ki jai, Shri Shama Kund ki jai, Shri Bahulashtami Mahotsava ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar ki jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai, Shri La Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Thank you.